This is the Daf Yomi Masechta Review, Masechta Brachos, tape number 1. This review is only meant for people who learn Daf Yomi on a regular basis or those who have learned through the Masechta. It is the goal of this review to be as accurate as possible in summarizing the highlights and key klalim of the Masechta. However, it is possible that on occasion something will not be reflected correctly. For subscription information about the Daf Yomi Masechta Review, please contact Daf Yomi Tapes, P.O. Box 831, Muncie, New York, 10952, or call us toll-free at 1-888-DAF-YOMI, that's 1-888-DAF-YOMI. This tape is dedicated in memory of Harav Shmuel Pinchos ben Harav Yehuda Arya Halevi Heber, Zecher Tzadik Livroche. Our Magid Shia is Rabbi Yossi Heber.
We are beginning Be'ezus Hashem, Shas, and Talmud Bavli. I would like to dedicate this tape in memory of my father, Rav Shmuel Pinchas ben Rav Yehuda Aryeh Halevi Zecher Tzadik Levracha, whose first Yahrzeit is next week in Mirtz Hashem on Yud Gimel Tishrei, Tafshin Nun Ches. My father Zecherena Levracha was a Rebbe and Rav in St. Louis, Missouri for almost 50 years, having had tremendous hashpah of Simcha, Chesed, and Ahavas Torah on hundreds of Talmidim, and having been mekar of dozens of families towards true Yiddishkeit, long before most knew what Kiruv Rechaikim really meant. He was also my 6th grade Rebbe for Masechta Brachos, which we are now beginning, Be'ezus Hashem Yisparach. The Gemara in Tmura, Daf Yodalot Amid Beis, learns from Psukim and Shmais that Dvarim Shal Peh Iyatar Rishai Le'omran B'chsav, V'sheh B'chsav Iyatar Rishai Le'omran Al Peh. The Torah Sheh B'chsav, as we know the Torah, should not be learnt bal peh, by heart. And Torah Sheh Bal Peh, on the other hand, should not be recorded in writing. Unfortunately, after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, as the generations weakened, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, better known as Rebbe, realized that if Torah Sheh Bal Peh would not be recorded in writing, it would chas v'shalom be forgotten. So based on the Pasuk in Tehillim, Kapitel Kuf Yud Tes, Eis La'asos Lashem Heferu Sarasecha, he began a process of organizing the Mishnayos and putting it into a written form. The writing of the Mishnah occurred about 1,800 years ago. All halachas brought in Mishnayos basically come from 5 different sources. Number 1, Pirushim or Remazim of Psukim, which were Makubel from Moshe Rabbeinu, and were darshaned al Pisvara through the Shleishes Rei Midais Shahatayra Nidreshes Bahem. For example, Kal Vachemer, Gzera Shava, and so on. Number 2, halachas which are referred to as halacha l'meisha mi-sinai. These have no rias from psukim at all, but they're mekubal directly from Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's when we say halacha l'meisha mi-sinai, this is what we refer to. Number 3, halachas which come from basic svaras, just general logic, which usually resulted in machlekes tanaim that we find in the Mishnayos. Number 4, special halachas which are called gzeras, which were created by the chachamim or the neviim of each generation. And finally, number 5, Takanas Uminhagim. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi organized the Mishnayos into 6 Siddurim, as we call them the Shisha Sidrei Mishnah. The first Seder is called Seder Zuraim. This deals with the Mitzvahs HaMachuyevais B'Tzemach HaAretz, mitzvahs that have to do with growing produce in the land of Eretz Yisrael, Trumas, Maisras, Peah, and so on. The second is called Seder Mayad. This has to do with the Zmanei Hashana, Shabbos, Chagim, and so on. The third Seder is called Seder Nashim. This has to do with Inyanei Ish v'Ishtai, Yevamis, Kedushin, Gittin, and so on. The fourth is Nezikin. This has to do with Hilchas Mishpatim, Maso Matan, doing business, or things that have to do with Ben Adam l'Chavere. The fifth is Kodshim. This deals with Karbanis. And finally, the sixth is called Seder Taharis. Has to do with Taharis, Tumas, and so on. The explanation of the Mishnah, and the many drushes and machlekesen associated with its halachas, is what the Gemara is all about. First came the Talmud Yerushalmi, and then came the Talmud Bavli, which is the version we primarily learn today. It was compiled in the basic format which we have today by Ravina and Ravashi about 1,500 years ago. Most of the Masechtas in Mishnayos which have Gemaras are in Mayid, Nashim, Nezikin, and Kutchim. In Zeraim, there is only one Masechta which has Gemara, and that is Masechta Brachas. And in Seder Taharis, there is also only one Masechta of Mishnayos, which has a Masechta of Gemara, and that is Masechta Nida. As a side note, the longest Masechta in Shas, Alpi the Gemara, is Masechta Baba Basra, which has 176 blot of Gemara. We should mention the Rambam, who explains that the reason Shas begins with Masechta Brachas is because a person is not allowed to eat any food without first making a bracha. So first, we learn Hilchos Brachas, then we can learn about the halachas of Tzemach Haaretz. Before we begin the first Mishnah, let us give a brief hakdama to the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. In the Parsha of Kriya Shema, which can be found in Parshas Va'aschanan, Dvarim Perek Vav, Pasuk Zayin, the Pasuk says, V'dibarta bam, b'shiftecha b'veisecha, uv'lechtecha baderech, uv'shachbecha uv'kumecha. From here, the Chachamim learned that there is a mitzvah to recite Kriya Shema twice every day. Number one, b'shachbecha, at the time of lying down, and number two, uv'kumecha, at the time of getting up, i.e. at night and in the morning. The reading of Kriya Shema includes three parts. Number one, the Parsha of Shema Yisrael, in Devarim Perek Vav, Psukim Dalad through Tes. Number two, the Parsha of Vahaya Im Shemaya, which in Devarim Yud Aleph, Psukim Yud Gimel through Chaf Aleph, which also mentions Uvishachbucha Uvkumecha. And finally, number three, the Parsha of Tzitzes, which is in Bamidbar Perek Tes Vav, Psukim Lamed Zayin through Mem Aleph, which discusses Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim. And since the Pasuk says Uvishachbucha Uvkumecha, our first Mishnah will deal with the proper times of the recitation of Kriya Shema. And now let us begin Masechta Brachas from Daf Beis Amud Aleph. And the Mishnah asks, Me'emasai koirin es shma ba'arvin. We know that the Pasuk says that one should recite Kriya Shema b'shachbecha uv'kumecha, when one lies down and when one gets up. When one lies down, this refers to the Kriya Shema shel arvis, the Kriya Shema we say at night. So the question is, when exactly is the time frame that one may recite this Kriya Shema? The Mishnah answers that the Zman begins when Kohanim nichnasim le'echol b'chumasam. This refers to the fact that when a Kohen is Tameh, he must be Tayvil in a mikveh, and then he can eat Chuma. And he goes to the mikveh at Harav Shemesh, i.e. at Tzeis HaKechavim. This is the beginning of the Zman of Kriya Shema Shel Arvis. What is the end of the Zman of Kriya Shema Shel Arvis? That is at Saif HaAshmura HaRishayna. One can say Kriya Shema until the end of the first watch of the night, i.e. till the end of one-third of the night. This is the Shita of Rebbe Eliezer. The Chachamim say, one can say Kriya Shema all the way until Chatzais. Chatzais is the middle of the night, midnight. Finally, Rabbi Gamliel is the most lenient. He holds that one can say Kriya Shema Shel Arvis all the way until Amud HaShachar, i.e. all the way until the end of the night. This is over an hour before Netzachama, before the sunrise. Going back to the earliest time one can say Kriya Shema, Rashi says that prior to nightfall is too early for Kriya Shema, since it isn't the Zman of Shachbacha. So Rashi asks, how then do they recite Kriya Shema in Shul in Maariv? The minig then was to daven Maariv early, before nightfall. Rashi answers that in Shul it was okay, since they would learn Torah and then enter directly into Tfilas Arvis. However, if Kriya Shema is said in an early Maariv, one must say it over again after it gets dark. And in fact, when one says Kriya Shema Shalmita, even though he only says the first paragraph, he is yaitza the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. Taisus argues and says that if Kriya Shema Alamita is the Kriya Shema Shel Mitzvah, then one should really say all three paragraphs of Kriya Shema in Kriya Shema Alamita. In addition, it ends up with Kriya Shema not having the Berachas Kriya Shema with it. So Rabbeinu Tam says that the main Kriya Shema is not Kriya Shema Alamita, but rather the Kriya Shema of Maariv. The Mishnah continues and says there was a Maisa where his children came home from a Sudas Mitzvah, and they hadn't yet recited Kriya Shema. So he told them, if you haven't yet recited Kriya Shema, and it's before Alaysa Shachar, then you're chayev now to recite Kriya Shema. And in fact, any time the Chachamim say that a Zman is Til Chatzais, Me'ikar Hadin, the Zman really is Til Alaysa Shachar. Since Til Alaysa Shachar is the Zman Shchiva, is really sleeping time, as Rashi explains. Also, the burning of fats and bones of Karbanos on the Mizbeach is Til Alaysa Shachar. After that, they become Noiser, they become leftover, and they become usur to eat. And when one has a full day to eat a carbon, the Zman Achila is until Alaysa Shachar. But in all of these cases, Kriyishma, Achilas Karban, the Chachamim were machmir, and only allowed until Chatzais, kedei laharchik odam min ha'avera, to distance a person from doing an avera, i.e. if he'll push it off past midnight, he might fall asleep, or he might forget and not say Kriyishma at all. We should mention that Taisvis in Psachim, Daf Kuf Chafam in Beis, says that although in the view of the Chachamim, they said that the deadline for the mitzvah of Kriyishma is midnight, if, however, a person misses midnight, he should nevertheless say Kriyishma to fulfill the mitzvah min haTorah, which really applies all night. Although really he has violated the Tekanas Chachamim, he's still mechuyev to fulfill the halacha, or the mitzvah d'oraisa, of saying Kriyishma as long as it's still nighttime. Rabbeinu Yonah argues, and says that according to the view of the Chachamim, if one forgets to say Kriyishma before midnight, he's lost the opportunity entirely to say Kriyishma and to have the mitzvah of saying Kriyishma completely. And now let's begin the Gemara. And the Gemara asks, why does the Mishnah first tell us about Kriyishma Shal Arvis, the evening Kriyishma? It should begin by discussing the halachas of Kriyishma Shal Shachris, the Kriyishma that we say in the morning, because morning comes first before the evening. Gemara answers, it goes in order of the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, B'shachbacha uv'kumecha. First it says, B'shachbacha, at night, then it says, uv'kumecha. And the reason the Pasuk goes in that order is because the world was really, when the world was created, we know that night came first. As the Pasuk says, Vayhi Erev, Vayhi Vayker. First came the evening, then came the morning. And of course, we know that today, whenever we celebrate a Yontif or Shabbos or whatever it might be, we always begin, the day begins with the evening, and then comes the rest of the day in the morning. Another Zman that is mentioned to begin Kriyishma is from the time the Ani brings home his bread and eats it with salt. This is a bit earlier than Seisek HaChavim, since the Ani cannot eat in the dark, he can't afford to buy a lamp. The Rambam paskins like our Mishnah, that the Zman of Kriyishma begins with Seisek HaChavim, and Rashi agrees with this, as well as what we mentioned before. The Smag, Rabbeinu Tam, and the Rush disagree, and say that it's mutter to daven Marev and say Kriyishma even before Seisek HaChavim as a practical matter. Since the Tzibur gathers for Mincha, if we force them to wait until Seisek HaChavim to daven Marev, people will go home, not daven Marev with a minion, and in fact may forget to say Kriyishma altogether. And the Mechaber, in Siman Reish Lamed Hei, Sif Aleph, says that the Zman Kriyashma is from the time that there are three stars that one can see in the sky. The Rush brings an interesting shaila from Rabbi Haigain that is very nagea. What if there was only one minyan in a particular city, and it's an early marif? Is it better to daven early with the tzibur and recite Kriyashma again later, or is it better to daven marif b'yechidus after tzeisek hachavim? Rabbi Haigain says it's better to daven tzfila b'tzibur, even if it's early. And the Mechaber agrees with him. And in fact, today, many shuls are naig to do this, to daven mincha, just before shkia, and then daven marev, right after shkia. And of course, this man of marev is long before tzeisek hachavim. On Shabbos, most shuls are naig to daven marev, even before shkia, i.e., for example, to daven mincha, say at 7 p.m., followed by Kabbalah Shabbos and marev. Others are naig to try to daven mincha early enough on Erev Shabbos, so that they should daven mincha before the plag ha-mincha. Plag ha-mincha is 1 1/4 hours before the shkia. So, for example, in New York, the plag, say in the middle of August, is 6:30 p.m. So mincha would be just before this. Then they would daven Kabbalah Shabbos and Marav. This would be in order to avoid the problem of tarti desasri. If both mincha and Marav were in the same basic time frame, for example, both of them were between the plag and shkia, it would be like saying that 1 1/4 hours, it's both day and it's night, since we're davening mincha during 1 1/4 hours, and we're davening Marav within 1 1/4 hours. So which is it? Is it day or is it night? We'll learn more about this issue of Tarti Desasri later on in the Masechta. I can recall, while living in London, England, many shuls even daven Marev after the plag, not only on Shabbos, but even during the week, with Shkia, for example, in the month of June, not coming until about 9:30 p.m., and Seisek HaChavim not coming until 10:45 p.m., it would be hard to get people to return to shul for Marev at 9:30 p.m. Hence, Mincha and Marev during the week would be, say, at about 7:30 p.m., with Mincha before the plag, and Marev after the plag. Here we must also understand, when the Mishnah says that the Zman of Kriyishma begins at Seis HaKechavim, what exactly is the time of Seis HaKechavim? What does that mean? We have here a stira between two Gemaras. The Gemara in Psachim, Daf Tzadik Dalad, says that from Shkia until Seis HaKechavim is a span of Dalad Milan. The Zmachloik is how long exactly a meal is in Shas, but it ranges between 18 and 24 minutes. We generally hold 18 minutes, which means that the Zman of Dalad Milan would be 72 minutes after Shkia. That's equal to Seis HaKechavim. While the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Lamed Daled, says that the Zman of Tzeisek HaChavim is 3/4 of a meal after Shkia. That would be about 14 minutes. how exactly were Miyashiv this stira is a machlekes rishayim. And in fact, when exactly is the Zman of Tzeisek HaChavim, there are many opinions for that. Rabbeinu Tam holds, like the Gemara in Psachim, that we say that the Zman is 4 milin, which means it's 72 minutes after Shkia. And the Gra holds, like the Gemara in Shabbos, who would hold that Tzeisek HaChavim is 3/4 of a mil after Shkia, which is about 14 minutes. Halacha Lamaisa, the Zman of Tzeisek HaChavim, in other words, how many minutes we wait, for example, Motzoi Shabbos, from Shkia until we say it is Tzeisek HaChavim and Shabbos is over, really varies depending on where you are in the world, and often varies depending on whether it's winter or summer. In the United States, for example, for Motzoi Shabbos, shuls hold at the end of Shabbos is anywhere generally from 42 minutes to 72 minutes. Some even hold longer. In Eretz Yisrael, generally the Zman is from 32 minutes to 45 minutes, and some even there hold it as much as 72 minutes. Overall, however, Eretz Yisrael would have a shorter Zman of Bein Hashmashos than the United States, since it's closer to the equator. Because it's closer to the equator, the actual time it takes from Shkia, from the time the sun sets, until it actually gets dark, and one can see Shleisha Kechavim Beinanim, is bepayel less time, because it's closer to the equator. In fact, when you're in Eretz Yisrael next, you'll notice that when the sun sets, it gets dark quicker than it does in the United States, because of this reason. In England, you have the opposite effect, as you have in Eretz Yisrael, because England is further north and farther from the equator than Eretz Yisrael, and also, of course, the United States. There tends to be a significant difference between the amount of time between Shkia and it actually gets dark, depending on whether it's winter or summer. In winter, there's a quicker Bein Hashmashos, and in summer, there's a longer Bein Hashmashos. And it's for that reason that the minhag in England is that there is a difference between how many minutes they wait in the winter to say that Shabbos is over versus how long they wait in the summer to say Shabbos is over, because of this reason. Because it's further from the equator, therefore the difference between winter and summer is very significant. Now, in the United States, it's true that there is also a difference between winter and summer, but generally speaking, because it's not a significant difference, people generally have a minhag to wait either 42 minutes, 60 minutes, or 72 minutes all year round. Now let's move to Daf Gimel. Rabbi Eliezer says that there were numerous watches in Shemayim, referring to the shifts of Malachim who do Avodah in Shemayim. He holds there were 3 watches of 4 hours each, for a total of 12 hours. And by each of them, HaKadosh Baruch Hu screams out like a lion because of the Churban Beis Hamikdash. And on earth, there is a siman for each of these mishmaris. The first watch, the donkey makes noise. The second watch, the dogs bark. And the third, a child gets fed, and a wife and husband speak. Rabbi Yossi said, once I traveled and I entered a room of ruins in Yerushalayim. Eliyahu Hanavi came and waited by the door. And Eliyahu told him he should have davened on the road, not at the ruins. And if he was afraid of robbers on the road, then he should have davened a tefillah katsara, a shortened tefillah, and we'll learn more about this in the fourth parak. At that moment, Rabbi Yossi said he learned 3 things. Number 1, don't enter a ruin. Number 2, davening on the road is okay. And number 3, on the road, shortened tefillahs, a tefillah katsara, is okay. And while in this chorva, he heard a bas call, which said, woe to my children, that because of their averus, I had to destroy the Beis HaMikdash and exile them with the Goyim. But when Klal Yisrael enters the shuls and batei midrashim every day and say, Yehei Shmei Rabba Mevarach, Hashem shakes his head and enjoys that praise. This, of course, refers to the Amen Yehei Shmei Rabba, which we say in Kaddish. And Tosfos here discusses why Kaddish is in Aramaic, not in Lashon HaKodesh. And there are a number of terutzim. First of all, Kaddish is in Aramaic, since it's such a beautiful tefillah, we don't want the Malachim to be jealous of us. Because the Malachim only understand Hebrew, Lashon HaKodesh, they don't understand Aramaic. Also, Tosfos said that it used to be said after Shiurim, amongst the people who didn't understand Hebrew. Therefore, Amen Yehei Shmei Rabba was said in Aramaic. And finally, the Teretz of the Eliyahu Rabba, who says that the Romans made a decree that Kaddish was not allowed to be said at all. Hence, it was said in Aramaic to keep it a secret. The Gemara says for 3 reasons one should not enter a ruin. Number 1, people will think that there is a Zayna there. Number 2, because of Sakana, it may fall on him. And number 3, there may be robbers or Shadim in there. Rabbi says the night is divided into 4 mishmaris. Rabbi Nassan says 3 mishmaris. Rabbi Yeshua says by Kriya Shema Shel Shachris, one must say it before the end of the 3rd hour, since the Pasuk says Uvekumecha, which is getting up. Kings get up at that hour, therefore it has to be said by the end of the 3rd hour. The Mishneh Berurah and Siman Nunches, Sif Katan He, says that it's not that it has to be begun at the end of the 3rd hour, at the latest, but it has to be completed by the end of the 3rd hour. So when we say Sof Siman Kriya Shema is at a certain point in time, it means that beginning it is not enough. It has to be finished by Sof Siman Kriya Shema. It's important to point out that throughout this Masechta, in fact, throughout Shas, when we refer to hours, we mean Shaos Zmanios, not Shaos Kvuos. Shaos Kvuos are the 60-minute hours as we use them. 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. is an hour. Shaos Zmanios are hours which are calculated as 1/12 of daylight, which are obviously longer in summer, but shorter in winter. So let's say, for example, it's early August in New York, Netzach Hama is 6 a.m., and Shkia is 8 p.m. This means that there are 14 Shaos Kvuos in the day, but there are only 12 Shaos Zmanios, which means you take the 14 hours times 60 minutes is equal to 840 minutes. Divide that by 12, and you have 70 minutes per Shaa Zmania. This means, for example, that when we say Sosman Kriyashma is at the end of 3 hours, it would be 210 minutes after Netzach Hama, 3 hours times 70 minutes for each of the Shaos Zmanios, after 6 a.m., which is Netzach Hama, means Sosman Kriyashma would be 9:30 a.m. However, in the winter, you have the opposite. Let's say it's at the end of November, when Netzach Hama in New York is 7 a.m., and Shkia is 4:30 p.m. The day is only 9.5 hours long, or 570 minutes. So 570 minutes divided by 12 is equal to only 48 minutes per hour. So Sovzman Kriyashma would be 3 hours times 48 minutes after 7 a.m., which is the Zman of Netzach Hama. So in that case, Sovzman Kriyashma would be at 9:24 a.m. This is how the Gra calculates Shaos Zmanios. From Netzach Hama until Shkia, you divide that by 12, and each of those become the Shaos Zmanios. The Mogen Avraham, however, holds that we calculate Shaos Zmanios not from Netzach Hama, but from Aleis HaShachar until Tzeis HaKochavim. Aleis HaShachar is generally held to be 72 minutes before Netzach Hama. Some chiddushim hold 90 minutes before Netzach Hama. This, by the way, is very nogea vis-a-vis a tinus. Until when can one eat, for example, on the morning of Tzom Gedalia, if one gets up early? So generally, in that case, we hold 72 minutes before Netzach Hama. Be as it may, according to this shita of the Magen Avraham, this would explain why the Sof Zman Kriyashma of the Magen Avraham is always earlier than that of the Gra. Since the Magen Avraham begins his day 72 minutes before Netzach Hama, so you're there calculating 3 hours from that point instead of 3 hours from the Netzach Hama, which is how the Gra calculates it. That explains why the Gra's Kriyashma is always later than the Magen Avraham's Zman Kriyashma. The Gemara then brings Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, who says that in front of a mace, one is only allowed to discuss items relevant to that mace. David HaMelech never had a night where he slept beyond Chatzais HaLaila. He always woke up before Chatzais. Before Chatzais, he would learn Torah, and after Chatzais, he sang Shirais V'Sishpachais Ta'akadosh Baruch Hu. And how did David HaMelech know when Chatzais was? Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know, as the Pasuk says in Shmai Yisrael Aleph regarding Makas Becheres, Kechatzais HaLaila, approximately Chatzais. When I answered, David had a simon. A harp was hung over his head, and when Chatzais arrived, a wind came and blew on it so it played music by itself. David HaMelech would learn Torah until Al Amud HaShachar, and then the Chachmei Yisrael would enter and speak about the need to feed Klal Yisrael. One of his suggestions was to take spoils through war. The advice on the battles would come from Achitofel, the advisor, and the Sanhedrin, and the Urim V'Tumim would tell them if they would be Matzliach or not. If they had the Urim V'Tumim, why did they need to ask Achitofel? Rashi explains that although the Urim V'Tumim told them whether they would win or whether they would lose, the strategy of war needed to be discussed with somebody, and Achitofel was the person that helped David HaMelech decide on war strategy. And then the Sanhedrin was there so that the people, the members of the Sanhedrin, would be mispal on behalf of Klal Yisrael. In addition, the Sanhedrin was involved in the war in order to pasken halachic shailas that had to do with the war. Finally, the Marshal learns from this Gemara that before a person goes on a trip, he should go to the Rabbanim of the city in order to receive their brachas and their tefillas. Daf Dalet. The Urim V'Tumim were not only called Urim V'Tumim, they were also called Kresi Uplesi. This is learned from a pasuk in Shmuel. They were called Kresi because Karsim Divrehem, their opinion was exact. And they were called Plesi because Muflaim Divrehem, the words that it said were wondrous. The Gemara says we know David HaMelech was awoken by a harp from the pasuk in Tehillim, Kapitel Nun Zayin. Ura Chivodi, Ura Hanevel, V'chinar, A'ira Shachar. Wake up my soul, wake up harp, I will wake up in the morning, i.e. before the morning begins. The truth is that Moshe Rabbeinu did know when Chatzais was, but he said Kachatzais HaLaila, since he was afraid that the stargazers in Mitzrayim by Paro would make a mistake, think Chatzais already came, and call Moshe Rabbeinu a liar. David HaMelech was concerned that maybe he wasn't a chassid, and he wouldn't necessarily get a chelek in Olam Haba, because someday he might do an avera. This is likened to Klal Yisrael, who could have come into Eretz Yisrael with full power, Yet, because of Averas, they ended up under the subjugation of foreign kings, for example, Paras. The Chachamim limited Kriya Shema to Antil Chatzais as a siyag, a fence around their words, as a precautionary measure, so someone wouldn't come home, eat a little, fall asleep, and ever say Kriya Shema. Instead, he should go to learn Torah, say Kriya Shema, and then he should eat. The Gemara says there's a machlokes if Tfilas Arvis is a Rishus or a Chayva. And the Gemara paskins and concludes that Tfilas Arvis is a Chayv. It's something that one must daven. The purpose of the Siyag, the Chatzai Siyag, was so that people would begin the night with Kriya Shema in Shul together with the full Maariv. This is like Rabbi Yochanan, who says, Eizahu ben Eilam Haba, who is a person who gets Eilam Haba, Zaha Saimech Geula L'Tfila Ba'arvis, one who mentions the Geula of Mitzrayim, and then immediately says Shmon Esrei in Maariv. In Shacharis, everybody agrees that one is Mechuyev to be Saimech Geula L'Tfila. We know this every morning when we say the Birchas Kriya Shema, and we talk about Geulas Mitzrayim, and the Chazan ends with Goal Yisrael. The Chazan is not supposed to say the last word loud so people don't answer Amen, because if they answered Amen right before Shemon Esrei, they'd be breaking the Smichas Geula L'Tfila. The question is, what about Maariv? And this is a Machlokes. But Rabbi Yochanan holds that in Maariv, one is supposed to be Saimech Geula L'Tfila. And Rashi here brings a mashal. He says a man who does not say, who is not Saimech Geula L'Tfila, it's like a friend of a king who comes and knocks on the king's door. The king went to see who it was and found that his friend had gone away. So then he went away as well. So the same thing with a person and a Kaddish Baruch Hu. When a person comes close to a Kaddish Baruch Hu by talking about Geulas Mitzrayim, and he gets very close to Hashem, he shouldn't walk away from him, but he should immediately jump in and say Shirais v'Shishbachas, i.e. meaning the Shemona Esrei, and then he should ask for his Tzrachim as well. Rav Simcha Zissel asked on this, why is it necessary to be Seimach Geula L'Tfila to get closer to Hashem? When we Mespal to Hashem, that's what we do automatically. And he answers, of course, when we daven, we get closer to Hashem. But if we take our attention away from the tefillah and don't concentrate on the kavana of our bakashas, then we won't get close. It is essential, therefore, to avoid any diversion of attention, as Rashi's mashal indicates. He points to Adam Arishan, who became a chayte, because of a slight diversion of attention due to his conversation with the snake. So to maintain one's attachment without any interruption or diversion, that's the formula for inheriting Olam Haba. And although Rabbi Yochanan Shita is that one is supposed to be Seimech Geula L'Tfila by Maariv, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi argues and says that Tfila is between the two Kriyashmas. Kriyashma Shal Shachris, then you have a Tfila, then you have Kriyashma Shal Arvis. We say in Maariv two brachas before Kriyashma, HaMaariv Aravim and Ohev Amo Yisrael, and two after, Gaal Yisrael and Shemar Amo Yisrael Lo'ad. Aye, if we need Smichas Geula L'Tfila, how can we say Hashkivenu? It breaks up the Geula between Gaal Yisrael and Shemon Esrei. The Gemara answers that Hashkivenu is called an extension of Gaal Yisrael. The Mechaber in Siman Reish Lamed Vav, Sif Gimel, says that if someone comes late to Maariv, just before Shemon Esrei, he can skip the first part of Maariv, all the brachas, and daven Tzvila B'Tzibor first, and catch up with Kriya Shema and the brachas later on, if he has no choice. In Shacharis, one can't do this, because in Shacharis we're very makpid to be Seimech Geula L'Tfila. So first, the person has to say the Birchus Kriya Shema, and only then can he daven Shemon Esrei. But in Maariv, the Mechaber says, if there's no other choice, there's no other minyan, so a person is allowed to say Shemon Esrei first, and then say the brachas of Kriya Shema and Gaal Yisrael. Rabbi Elazar said, whoever says Tfila L'David, which is Ashrei, as we know it, three times a day, is assured of Olam Haba, since the Tfila of Ashrei contains the praise of Paiseach Es Yadecha U'Maspi Al'Chol Charetzayim. Hashem provides everyone with food. In addition, it has a pasuk for every letter of the aleph beis. What about the letter nun? Mar answers, the nun is left out of Ashrei, since it's meramez regarding the destruction of Klal Yisrael. And the Pnei Yeshua adds that we do not say Ashrei at night, since people do not work at night to produce this food that's in the pasuk of Paseach HaSedach HaMasbi Alachol Chayratzai. Finally, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, even though someone already said Kriya Shema Shel Arvis in Shul, it's a mitzvah to repeat it again before going to bed.